Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
But we can dish them out. Well, Shannon, I'm very excited today.
Okay.
Because we have a very special guest.
Yes.
Someone who is near and dear and has a special pocket in my heart, regardless of if we talk every day or if we haven't talked in like a decade.
Mm-hmm. Who's your guest?
It's a musician.
No.
I'm really excited because you've been wanting me to get musician friends on the podcast and tell crazy zany stories. Everybody wants music. It's like our highest requested thing.
Yeah.
We have Puyon F. Carey, and he is keyboards, magic, spirit of Scary Kids, Scaring Kids. They disappeared off the radar for a little while, and now they're a band again.
I'm very excited.
It's
I just got goosebumps.
Again. Did you?
You announced that in the cutest way, and I'm like, oh, shit. This is so cool.
It's Puyon.
I love it.
Everybody loves Puyon. Everyone who's ever met him has loved him, and we welcome you to the show today. Welcome to
Thank
Your
you. That was an extremely warm welcome. I don't know how to live up to it, so thanks, and hello. It's great. It's great to hear your voice again.
I'm so excited to have you on. We normally tell how we've met people, and sometimes they're just like really thrilling meet-cute stories. I don't remember because my memory is fucking awful.
Oh my God.
No, I don't remember. It was like a tour or something. My show brain, I went to so many shows and met so many people for so long. And along the way, you meet people and you might see him again in a few months. But Puyon became one of those people that if I was hanging out with like my Australian friends, Puyon popped up with our friend Sal. And I was like, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm just going to live in Portland for a little while. I'm just going to bebop around, go on a different tour. And like, they would hop on the tour. So I was just always intermixed with everyone as not just Puyon from Scary Kids. He was like his own force.
You realize you're like that too, right?
I don't
for band people. Now we can ask Puyon this question because
how did we meet?
I feel like Bonnie is that for band people where they go someplace with their band friends and then they see Bonnie and they're like, the fuck? And she's like, oh, I'm here with such and such. And they're like, huh?
That's exactly right. I could say that I was, traveling because I was on tour. Bonnie was actually the person that was just everywhere you went, right? So it's all about perspective.
She's living her best life just being on the road, doing whatever she felt like, listening to her favorite music. And I was jealous of that life. That's pretty rad.
My 20s were dope. And I had all the friends that wanted to do stuff.
Right.
So
you had adventure friends.
Like Lindsay would be like, hey, let's go to Florida.
Wow, that's true.
All these tours are lining up and then there's Warped Tour after. So we'd hang out with like several different bands in 1 week and then party super hard for 1 weekend. And by party, like Lindsay and I weren't like crazy partiers. Lindsay didn't drink. Lindsay didn't smoke weed. Lindsay didn't do anything. So I'd like smoke a joint with someone and like that was my crazy and just hang out. We were nice girls out on the town, bebopping around. And I had someone turn around and look at me and go, wait, Bonnie, what? Florida? You're not from Florida. And I said, I'm from Portland. And they went, why are you here? And I was like, because I flew on a plane to Florida just because of no reason.
So fucking adventurous. And you're right. Nobody else had those adventure friends in their 20s. You had the weird, lucky pocket of friends. And all your band friends liked you because you're a normal person, too. You were there for the actual music.
I hope so.
No, I think that's true. Because like there's band hoes. Mm-hmm. Like, real talk, all my friends were band hoes when they were not adventuring. And I'm like, I just want to go for the music.
Oh my God. No, Puyon, it was in that time. So it was like early 2000s to mid 2000s were the big screamo emo days. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think I stood out because I wasn't one of those girls that had like fake nails, big extensions, painted on face.
Oh yeah.
Like the LA type of scenester girls that had like cheetah print weave.
And I heard those were called scene bimbos back in the day.
I don't know.
So
maybe I just stood out because I was like, hi, I'm Bonnie. I'm wearing a denim jacket.
I'm from Portland. Let's rock.
I'm wearing your shirt to the show and I don't care because I love your music.
That was a good time. I remember we were very close. I remember when I lived in right outside of Portland at our manager's place, Russ, who you know very well.
Yes, Lake Oswego. That house That's was right. the bomb.
I stayed there for 3 months and we hung out all the time. I went to your Christmas party, if you remember, right?
The ugly sweater party, and you met Waylon and Adam, my brothers, and my brother's wife Ashley at that party. That was at the Horchata
House. That was awesome. Oh, yeah, nice. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we invited you. We're like, come to an ugly sweater party. We're all dressing up. And then we did White Elephant with gifts. And you ended up with somebody got body glitter and they're mad about it. Mm-hmm. So you ended up with it. And then we ended up swinging in a park for hours nearby. What? And swinging and talking about our daydreams and what we wanted to do with our futures and just like really bonding as friends. And then we came back to the house and all the people had left the party except for like our hippie roommates' friends from the co-op that we didn't know. And they were slow dancing to the Beatles around the Christmas tree. And we were just like, this is we just sat there and watched them and played with body glitter.
I had also won the chocolate mushrooms, if you remember that. So maybe.
Oh, yes.
Is that why
that's why the swinging, happened? That's why the talk about the dreams. And then also why body glitter people were like, oh, these guys are weird. This is too much.
Yes, we were on mushrooms a little bit. Just a little bit. Enough that the air felt like pressure. Everything had essence. Yeah. Oh,
like after you eat a wintergreen mint.
Yeah.
All the air tastes like that. And you're like, oh God.
Yes. Everything was exceptional. It's like
post-workout fresh air, right?
Mad Dog 2020. Mm-hmm. I got in the White Elephant Peach Mad Dog 2020.
Oh God.
Which I pounded.
Yeah. Did you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
That was actually what I brought to the White Elephant party.
Yes.
I'm classy.
And I was sort of seeing someone off and on, and he came to the party. But I ended up on mushrooms in a park with Puyon, just building a fabulous friendship and talking about our daydreams. I still have all the poems you sent me that I never made illustrations for our children's book that was in our mind's eye that night. We're like, we're going to do this. Like, we're really going to do this.
Can we really do this, you guys?
No, I totally thought about it. I was like, I want to, like, let's kickstart that.
I still have those poems. I'm still down.
Okay. Yeah. He's a beautiful writer.
I'd like to donate to this Kickstarter now. I've got 10 on it. Let's do this.
I got 10 on it. Yeah. So I don't remember how we met. It was on some tour.
Right. I don't either. I remember that it was early on, though. I remember it was early on, I think, in our touring career. And early on in like kind of the band's like early days.
It's like where everyone just kind of did West Coast and maybe like tapped into Vancouver, Canada, and then came home and we're like, we just did a tour.
The West Coast run.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I'm in a field in Portland.
That was my favorite thing. And to go to tours down at like the Troubadour and go down to LA and like hit the clubs there and meet bands that it was like their EP release.
Oh my God.
And then meet them and be like, I'm from Portland. And they're like, we want to go on tour there. It's like, I met people when they were like band babies. Aww. And then when they came up, I was like band mom. So I was like, oh, you guys are here. Here's some brownies. Right. Do you guys need a place to stay? Who wants a shower? If we're on the way home, we're like, you want to do laundry and shower so you can go home to your mom and smell nice? You want her to think you're a nice boy?
That's pretty good. I do remember you had a lot of laundry happening and it was a ton of black skinny jeans and they weren't yours.
That was so funny. Fun. And Puyon, you had wild, long, curly hair.
I remember your hair. That's how I remember meeting you, is that you were kind. You listened while people talked. You were actually one of the only guys that a group of girls was talking about stuff and you were giving them
like eye contact,
attention.
Yeah. Asking follow-up questions.
You're just being friendly in general without any of the band schmutz that can happen. And you had great fucking hair. I remember your hair more than most.
Everyone wants to touch the hair. Are you going to bring the hair back?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of just been happening naturally in quarantine.
Because of pandemic? Right. Yeah.
It's the universe. Since October of 2019, basically. So it's coming back.
Oh, nice.
I'm really excited.
Me too.
And
you know, I thought when we announced our tour in September or whatever, that by January I would have hair, you know, kind of down below my chest. And I kind of underestimated that one.
It slows down as you get older.
Yes. And they say it's like every 6 months it grows like how many inches?
I don't know. I'm a hair farmer. Mine's different.
Yeah. Yours grows really fast.
Yeah. I hate it.
Let's talk scary kids, scaring kids. Still one of the best band names of all time.
Now I'm back in music. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And in so many ways, the Scary Kids are coming back. We've been doing a lot of writing. It's been a lot of fun. Chad and I think most excitingly, have kind of like become really close again, right?
I love it.
That's the right. Originals. Yeah. And Chad and I, always close friends, right? But when you stop having reasons to just kind of bump into each other as everyone kind of gets older and, you know, whatever band is, right? You're kind of like working together. It's like when you stop working together, you stop seeing as much of each other, and playing music again together has given us like a reason to just fly out, hang out for the weekend, write a few songs, and just kind of have been doing that since basically the tour last year.
That's so cool. It's like the boy version of our slumber party, where you guys, it's like you're meant to be in the room together. You're staying together for a duration of time, and you get really close because like all the little funny things start falling into place again. And you're like, God, I missed you.
Yeah, you don't get so enough cool. of that is kind of full grown adults. You kind of don't get that just kind of goofy peer relationship that you maybe had growing up with people.
It's really hard to do. And when I moved back from Nashville, I started working with my best friend, who was my boss. She's like, hey, you want a job? And I was like, I'm just coming home. Do y'all do whatever? So I ended up working in an office with her, and we just would like make eye contact, die snort laughing, and like say inside jokes. And it all just picked up. And we've known each other since fourth grade. So it's like that weird sister bond that other employees were like, you haven't even worked here. How do you know everybody? How are you guys so close? This is fun. It's fun to have the sister friends, the brother friends.
Creepy connections.
Yeah.
That's really good to have. And I think maybe that's why people appreciate or kind of wish that they were working in the arts or playing music or being a director or doing this or that, because there's an assumption of you get to be yourself as an adult, right? Like if you kind of hold the reins, you get to be kind of natural. And when you get into a professional position, sometimes you can lose your identity, right? If you're not doing something that, you know, or express yourself. And I'm not saying that you always get to be yourself when you're in kind of a creative role, but I've definitely kind of lost some of my personality when I was working in different kind of career positions, and that sucks.
I relate to that so hard. It hurts. I can't work for other people anymore after working for myself. I feel like I need to just be my own person. I totally get that.
And it's not even a thing of like, I don't want to be told what to do. I like structure. Give me a list. I will show you like, damn, I'm so good at taking care of your list. I'm a vital, important part of your company. However, there's something to be said where your brain has the freedom to kind of move around and go wherever it goes. And you feel a larger sense of gratification. If you have a role where you can say, this is great and I like your list, but look what I can bring to the table. And somebody goes, yes, that's what it was missing. Mm-hmm. It feels way more fulfilling.
Right. Yeah. Stuffed shirt and a tie at a desk answering somebody else's phone is not where it's
can't
at.
Stand ties.
Right. I do miss those like bonus commissions though around Christmas when I worked for a bank. I was like, oh, you want me to actually like buckle down and make extra money? They were like, why are your numbers so high? I'm like, because I'm a baller. I just haven't been trying because I like no money.
Time and a half.
I want a Keurig. Like, come on. That was fun. You got to do it. Okay. Well, we will hop in. We are very excited. You guys released a single in 2019, and that was like the first time in a bit. And now you guys are coming out with, is it a full album?
Yeah. So Chad released that single, and basically Chad hasn't stopped writing since the band broke up, and he's been writing with various bands, but basically has like kind of a collection of songs he's kind of holding back and wanted to release, and Love Forever was one that he specifically wrote for Tyson.
I love that. Tyson was the original singer of Scary Kids, Scaring Kids, Tyson Stevens, and passed away several years ago. And it was devastating for all of us because he was such a monumental presence. You know, like, you know how frontmen can be like, I'm the frontman. Like he was something else, very shy and soft spoken off stage. And it made him very endearing. Yeah. And when he passed away, that was a lot. So that's a beautiful song. And I love that he wrote that for him. Chad's a sensitive guy. I love that.
Tyson was a really reserved kind of private guy. And as you mentioned, he passed away a while ago, and kind of tough situation, right? You live with someone that long, you're essentially, you know, their brother, and then watching them go is, mm-hmm. it's tough. Yeah, anyway, so Chad wrote that song for him and decided to release it on his birthday. And Chad basically asked permission. He wrote the song, he sang on the song. And he's like, hey, do you mind if I just kind of release it under the Scary Kid's name? And since it's, you know, kind of dedicated to Tyson and
a good tribute to Tyson, like he wants the Scary Kids fans to hear it.
That's it. Tyson. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's cool.
That seems like the right thing to do.
Right. You know? And we're like, yeah, absolutely. Go for it. So he did. And then that got some attention. And some folks reached out to Chad and kind of were generally curious about basically getting the band together for a tour. And
yeah, because it's like a taste. Yeah. Like everyone was mm-hmm. like, this is beautiful and I love it. However, where's the rest of it? And is this going somewhere? I can't even imagine. Your guys' fan base is huge and undying. There's something to be said about that era. Mm-hmm. And that style of music that all the fans are diehard fans and they grew up with it and they're still those people where it's like, you know, they may work a corporate bank job now and wear a suit and have kids and be more settled down, but it's something about it where they're
they
like
scream in their car. I'm sorry.
We all still listen to it.
I clean the house to that shit.
Yeah.
My kid knows a lot of songs and he's 10 and that's weird. And I don't care. It's fine. Yeah, it's an era, man.
We were pretty surprised by it because truthfully we were like, oh, well, we had thought that everyone moved on. We're like, all right, well, listen, we'll do it. Sure, let's do it. There had to be, you know, kind of the right circumstances set up, right? So with Tyson's mm-hmm. passing and making sure that, you know, someone could kind of not only do him justice vocally and musically, but who also had an attachment to the band and kind of knew Tyson personally would obviously be preferable. Mm-hmm. Cove, Reber kind of checked all those boxes. He was a good buddy. He knew Tyson. He was close with Tyson. And he also, like, you know, when we would swap members, so he would come in and ride with us on our bus for a few dates. And, you know, when Tyson, I was actually in Portland. Tyson actually ran off with some people on Warped Tour one night and he missed a few Warped mm-hmm. Tour dates. It was Cove. It was Brianna Balmer. It was, you know, a few other people that kind of filled Tyson's shoes for him and you know, helped out during those few days until we could track Tyson down and fly him back out to come join us on tour again.
Oh my God. That's the wildness of boy camp is like, you have some wild cards, mm-hmm. you know, they're wild cards because you've recorded together, you've traveled together, you've grown up together. You guys all know each other. So, you know, there's like a possibility mm-hmm. of the wild card just being like, bye. And you're like, okay, cool. This is great.
No,
but then boy camp jumps in.
That. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And Cove's from Seosin.
Right.
Who, come on. I love them so much.
It's all great.
Right.
So good.
Oh, but it's so cool that they're so close with you guys that Cove was just like, yeah, I'll hop in and do a set. Like, I know all your songs. And if I don't, I'm going to make up some shit I'm going to hold out that microphone and the audience will tell me the words I didn't know.
That's
because they
so
all
true.
Know it. They oh all sang. And if you find that one guy in the front that is looking you in the eye, even when you're not looking at him, and he's saying all the words, and you put that mic in his face because he's your best bet for lost lyrics.
Yeah, he's your lineman.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's the line. I was going to say, it's like the theater version of calling line out in first grade.
I was picturing it. Line. And he's like, yes, I know all
I
the
know
words.
All the words. I love it. There's somebody online too that does translation videos for their girlfriend, and it's like translating hardcore or like screamo.
I love
and the guy videos. Just like says it to his girlfriend like this, like over the screaming parts.
Yeah.
And he's like, and your heart and my heart become one, and this and that, and there's like my favorite things to like, watch. Huh. She's like, now I get it, this is a love song.
Wow. He does what now?
I love it. Passion. So Cove hopped in to like record the album with you guys, and then it became a tour, or was he just like, I'm on, let's bring back
so
Scary Kids.
The reunion tour that we did was a City Sleeps in Flames, I think it was a 15-year anniversary tour, so we did the West Coast portion, and we did the album in full basically. So there are a lot of songs that we had never performed live ever from the City Sleeps in Flames album, and it was also one of the longest sets I think we'd ever performed, coming in at like an hour and a half. So it was like really long. Shit. But you know, we balance it out, we threw in some intermissions, and I mean, we have a lot of ballads on that album too that really aren't appropriate to play a rock show unless you have something that long. So it was, we were able to make the set really dynamic and incorporate some kind of intensity and lull and all that, which was, yeah, exactly, which was a blast. So we did the West Coast tour, and now right as we were planning to head out east, pandemic hit, and like all the other bands, we basically just kind of holed up in our houses and are rescheduling it for a later date now.
Yeah. Damn. Well, your lineup right now, it's large enough that they were saying like no gatherings more than 10 people. So you could invite like one person, two people. To
yeah, that's, I mean, sold out shows, no problem, right? We got oh, this.
Yeah. Two spots, yeah. We're done. Biggest yeah. band.
Hit cap.
It's you and Chad and Cove. And then who else is in your lineup? Like, do you have a permanent lineup, or you guys have like a recording lineup that you've been touring with? Is this for good? I need to know, like,
she's
where we're
beating
at.
Around the bush. Is this
is this
life?
Permanent? Are these people dedicated yeah. to my wellness as a
so I don't know if you remember Pete Costa, who played drums on The City Sleeps and then After Dark. And he came out with us on tour to support The City Sleeps. Maybe a few months after the release. I can't remember exactly when he quit, but he ultimately left the band at just as we were kind of picking up some momentum. But Pete Costa was our first drummer, so he came back out on the reunion tour as well. And then we brought in Don Vetta, who has his own project called Don Vetta, and he is a phenomenal guitarist, and he filled Steve's shoes for the live mm-hmm. tour. And then we had Jordan, is a phenomenal, phenomenal bassist and musician. He actually left us to go to Tennessee.
So, they all go.
Yeah, the mass Tennessee migration, right? Yeah.
Well, I feel like now we know where we're going. Are you ready to jump into some random questions and take your brain into places that have been recessed?
Let's go. Cheers.
Do you want to kick it off first? You want to go first?
You know what's interesting, Bonnie? I just had a thought. Anytime I drink a hot toddy, I'm reminded of you.
Really? Yeah. Did I really push you on hot toddies for a while? Or was I just... Well, it was winter.
It was winter.
Like anytime we went anywhere, we were like, hot toddies. They felt like classy and cozy and not like...
Yeah, but we were.
We were like, can we get a hot toddy?
I like
double.
How you classed it up, yeah. But really. Yeah.
Yep.
Bonnie, we like tied one on a lot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then like, it was good.
Every time I drink a hot toddy, I think of you. I think universally, I think most bands.
Let's say I just had a sore throat through most of the 2000s.
Okay.
And I was like, I need that honey. I need it. I need honey.
I like that you're sticking to that. I appreciate.
You know, we'd be like a shot of whiskey and then like a hot toddy back.
It's right. Hot toddy back. I like that. It's better than a PBR back. You were keeping it classy in Portland. I appreciate that.
I was keeping it more expensive and cozy.
And warm.
Hot toddies. I miss that. And then I also miss game nights at Russ's and band guys and board games. They go together. People don't think they do.
Are you kidding me? Now that I can now that I can afford rent, right? And I'm not in a band, I have all the board games. I have totally leveled up my board game collection.
You're so funny. We would go so hard on every game. They were really into puzzles as well.
That's
and
hilarious.
I have pictures of all of you boys sitting around a table putting a puzzle together. And
you
like
know what's
Chad looks
weird?
Really it was a Reno puzzle.
You're right, because on band buses,
yeah.
More often than puzzles. Not, there was a fucking puzzle on the table.
You got nothing but time to kill. People
that's
think
really
it's all
true.
Like parties, but like
they're just puzzling, you guys.
Right.
Oh my God.
They're just completing puzzles.
Every day I'm puzzling.
Russ got one of those big, the flip paper.
Oh,
he
cool.
had like the flip paper thing at one point. So we were doing
that
a lot
legit.
Of Pictionary, and we were like the invited uninvited. Like we would just show up.
Like it was assumed.
Where was I fucking working that I could just drop everything? I don't know. I probably just quit
the
jobs
mall?
To like have a long weekend.
No,
I don't. Yeah. I didn't
you were
give
working
a shit.
At the mall.
I did whatever I want, but I would just show up with friends and we'd like bring a bottle of liquor. We'd bring some Thai food and like pancake mix, play board games or do puzzles way into the night till it got like rambunctious. And then we'd turn on Friends. I think Tim was like obsessed with Friends at one point. So we were just like playing Friends on the TV in the background, being friends in real life, playing games. And then everyone would pass out everywhere. And then we'd wake up and make pancakes.
You know, that's not what people picture band parties like, right? Like, the general
public, but it was home,
finds it way more sexy than it really is.
That's I feel
not.
Like Puyon, that's not always what it's like, but as you tour and as you toured for several years, you guys all found your like safe spaces. on the road.
Yeah.
Home base in
your home
states.
Away from home. Yeah. You're safe people. This dude's not out to get fame from my band. He's like our brother in New Hampshire. You know, right. It's like, whatever. This girl isn't trying to bang us all.
And get pregnant.
And she has like the world's softest futon. Like you all had your places where you felt comfortable. And my goal in life, I just wanted to have those little home sections. And when we had people move here and put down roots and rent a house and like record music here and do the thing, when people came through, it was like, well, this is my home away from home because I hang out here all the time. We're going to party, but then us girls are going to like clean up afterwards in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was that kind of like normalcy that became like more coveted, right? Than the wild parties. It was those like peaceful moments that you really never got that you're like, oh my God, that was crazy.
Yeah. I can go in a dark room. Yeah. I can put in headphones and I could just go to sleep and no one's going to bother me. It's no longer like crazy party time.
You don't have to be on the entire time. You can go sit on a porch.
No one's going to fuck with your shit.
Nobody's going to bother you.
Yeah. You can get as high as you want and just pass out in a hammock. And you're like, I'm free to do this and no one's going to leave me behind. Oh, yeah. No one's going to fuck with my shit and no one's going to steal from me. Yeah. And my laundry is in the dryer. Like, what a good feeling with downtime. And that's always what I loved. And it felt more like family. Like, I got to be like the Portland sister.
I'm transported. That was,
Picturing Laundry Bon. Portland.
I love Laundry Bon.
Porch hangs at Laundry Bon's and she gonna make us pancakes in the morning. It's great. So good.
So what's your question?
Okay, sorry.
Now I want
this
a hot
is all
toddy.
So much more exciting than our questions, but let's I know. Okay, let's
we
be
haven't
serious.
Even hopped in questions. It's 40 minutes of like just memories. I just fucking miss you so much.
Oh, it's so good. Okay. Let's time to be business.
Let's do it.
Okay, ready? Okay. What is the first song you learned how to play on what instrument?
Oh, great question. So I don't remember. I learned how to play the violin before any instrument. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like your classic, you know, elementary school.
Is it?
You know.
Gilmore's a recorder, bro. Yeah.
Okay. Fair. Okay. Yeah. If we're going that far back, I do remember it was everyone's first song, Hot Cross Buns.
I mean, I excelled at Hot Cross Buns. I'm not gonna lie.
Mary had several little lambs
and twinkle, twinkle, little fucking star.
So violin, when you got into music,
that's so cool.
And you played
I hated violin. And in fact, I lost my violin a couple times, and my parents were really mad. I think so, but you know, subconsciously on purpose, right? Like I hated it. I couldn't get my fingering right. And I was terrible at it. And then when Chad started a band, I would go to his band's shows. Chad started a band with, you know, a whole bunch of other friends that we'd all been friends since elementary school. And I would go to these shows and he would hold them in barns. He actually held one concert called Chad Fest for his 15th or 16th birthday.
I love that.
To set the mood, we were all fans of these punk bands, right? So like Aquabats and Lagwagon and Screeching Weasel and like anything on Fat Records is something that we would just totally eat up, right? So that kind of like community, put on your own shows, book your own tours. So basically any shows that Chad would be putting together, I'd be like, dude, I'm there. What do you need? Helped him build the stage and all that. And then you know, we'd hardcore dance and go all of these like basement shows and all that. So to kind of bring it back together, when Chad eventually formed another band, he's like, Puyan, dude, like, what do you want to play in my new band? We were in high school. I think we were sophomores or juniors. And
he's just like, you're in it. You choose your instrument.
What can you learn to do for this?
Basically, what can you learn to play in our band? And I tried playing guitar, but I had the same kind of frustration where I couldn't get the fingering on the guitar right with my left hand. It was just super frustrating. I never kind of sorted it out. I never broke through on that piece. So we decided, we're like listening to Reggie in the Full Effect at that time. And we were listening to Open Hand. And do you remember like Open Hand had that like lightning intro or that rain intro on one of the songs? I thought that was one of the coolest things in the world. Obviously like the other instruments were cool too. But there was something about like the effects and also the fact that you could kind of produce whatever you wanted live. Like you could turn it into a production, right? With a keyboard. It could be brass. It could be strings. It could be obviously piano. It could be like a vintage key. Like it could be a thunderstorm, like Open Hand. Yeah.
You're like, I still play violin.
Exactly.
I play bass. Listen.
Right. So I thought that was super cool because of our influences at the time. We're like, dude, let's have a keyboardist in this band and let's have me be that. And he's like, great. So I took lessons from our drummer's instructor at the time. The first song I learned with that instructor was Tchaikovsky's Concerto Number 1. And I never learned how to read the music because he always made me feel the music and, you know, get the fingering right. And that dude was a character. He was great. He was also Peter's instructor, and we would have like weekly lessons. And sometimes we wouldn't even have lessons. First of all, he's a very serious teacher. He was a pilot in World War II. Russia. And then he was kind of a notorious like ladies man out there, and he fooled around with one of the KGB's daughters, right?
Not even the wife, just went straight to daughter. Yeah.
And you know, it didn't turn out well. So that is, you know, rumored to why he came out to the States. And he was a really intense, intense man. He would take baths, you know, with his little dogs, and he would yell at me from his upstairs bathtub if he heard me slip a note or not hit it hard enough or be...
What?
So he would take a fucking bath while you're playing?
Yeah. Oh, he would. Yeah. So he would...
Play me and my dog's music.
Yeah. Play me a song.
Yeah.
Why are you giving me a Russian accent?
I don't know.
So he would yell from the bath.
Yes, he would yell from the bath. That's right. And so he'd be washing his dogs in the bath. And I don't remember what they were called, but they're like these little dogs with little fluffy ears, you know, about the size of my forearm.
Like a
miniature pincher Manchester Terrier, but I don't know. Maybe I guess I could.
I don't know, but exactly the dog.
I have that name in my head for some reason. Nope, that's definitely not that.
you just Google it, yeah. And you're like, nah.
Yeah, it's not that dog. They were fluffier and sweeter looking. That kind of looks like an aggressive dog, even though it's small. But so, you know, they would like have bows in their hairs and be super sweet. And he would yell from the bathtub, and he would hear if I was slightly off the beat. Or watching, what was that really great drumming movie that came out a couple of years ago? But watching that move.
Drumline?
not the one where they like danced and they were on a football field.
Oh, darn.
The one where he was a really intense instructor, and like he was basically like Black Swan wrestler-esque, right? Like perfection comes at a cost, and kill yourself to bring other people, you know, an evening of joy at your event was the logic.
I don't recall that flick.
And all the while you're not reading music. So he's in the bathroom, right, and you're feeling it, and he's yelling at your feelings. You didn't feel it but also you don't have the music. You're just like playing along with something. You're playing your memory.
Yeah, playing by memory. He would teach me the notes, right? And he would say, all right, this is C major, C minor, this is a C scale. You know, then we do that with all the notes. And then he would say, all right, now Tchaikovsky is this, this, and this. And then it's this, this, and this. And I'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Tchaikovsky is an interesting one because you just go down the scale holding the chords. We played it two part as well, right? Before boring details, basically it's a great introductory piece, or was for me. And also it gives you a lot of confidence because it's somewhat complex without being too complex, right? So it sounds cool saying that was your first number, but I mean, I think maybe anyone that plays piano, if they know that you play it as a duet, maybe it's not as complex as it sounds.
I have a friend that learned piano when we were kids, and I used to just sit and watch her play, and she could read music. She played that a lot, and Phantom of the Opera and Canon in D. Mm-hmm. And the only one I learned was a tiny portion of Canon in D, and I felt like I was a masterful piano player at that point. It's so pretty.
Another great thing about piano is that you can have the entire song. I mean, similar to guitar, but like with the piano specifically, like the whole song, the bass notes, mm-hmm. the high notes, they all exist in front of you. You own it, right?
Yep. I'm looking at a piano I don't know how to play, for the record.
Puyan, if you like heard that song in an elevator,
would
it take you back to this man in your memory?
Yeah.
Watching Yorkies upstairs.
Yeah, absolutely. He was great. There were days that we would just go to a car dealership. He'd be like, today we're not playing. Today we're going out to have fun. And he would get like the nicest car from a Mercedes dealership, and he would drive it like over 100 miles an hour with the salesman just in the passenger seat.
Would you be
car just
with
in the
him?
Back seat? Like, I mean, this is my Saturday, and I'm 16 or 17 years old, and all I want to do is, you know, go to the movies or, you know, drink behind a dumpster, and I'm hanging in the back seat of this dude's car, and I'm like, man, this is silly.
What a weird day. But this is training you for something. I feel like this needs to be a film.
Yeah,
like just this memory of like this character of a man with like two teenage boys hanging on his every word. Like, he's a master. He's going to train us. He's like, no, today we're driving fast
today,
in a car.
Today we drive. Ours. He also taught me accordion because he thought it was important. I'm like, man, I do not want to play accordion. But it was great. It was great.
I have so many questions. Okay, first, number one, who would play him in a movie? I need to know, are we talking like Stanley Tucci? Like, who am I picturing? Who is this guy? Who does he look like?
Great,
are you Googling
question.
Right now?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I heard the sound of a Google happening.
Can you hear
it was
me?
Great.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you also looking up the dog? Because that's important now. I'm picturing it as a Yorkshire Terrier with a bow.
It would be Yorkshire Terrier. That's probably it.
You said bow and hair.
No, it's not that dog. It's much smaller than that. Oh, no, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, it was just a tall picture. He would be played by Ron Perlman.
Oh, my God. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. I really needed that for the visual.
However, Ron Perlman, so his eyebrows were the size of my thumb, right? And white and bushy and like angled up. So they would come out the side and like they would angle up, which is really great.
I love everything about his character. Please, this does need to be a show.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Great. Yes, was his head that large? Ron Perlman's got
a big old
head.
I mean, he didn't have the same like size of that jaw, right? Ron Perlman's, you know, break bricks with sizable. His jaw. He had a smaller jaw, but he had maybe even more of an intensity than Ron Perlman in like his eyes.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. And he was a wild card. I love that for your childhood.
Me too.
I really feel like it shaped you as a human, and I was unaware.
How many instruments did he
teach
you?
Just the piano and the accordion.
How many instruments can you play or have you? I'm not saying well. Yeah. I'm just saying.
How many could you passably tell someone that you know how to play?
Oh, like, to be honest, I wouldn't even claim that I play the piano anymore.
Shut up. You play in a band.
Yeah, but it's, you know, yes, I play a set number of songs. Like, I can play an hour and a half of music currently, and I would have to put some time in again before the next tour before I could do that again. So.
Oh, my face hurts. This is the best question I've ever asked because it gave the best story. Oh, this is so funny.
I'm really excited. Let me put an end to that story. So, okay. a few years back. His wife and my mom are really good friends, and his wife is one of the sweetest women you'll ever meet. She let us all know. Actually, I think it was Peter that called me, and he said, "Listen, like Garamond passed away, and he was 80 plus years old." Yeah, and I was like, "Dude, I'm really sorry to hear that. What happened?" And he's like, "Well, he was in an ATV accident."
Oh my God!
What the fuck?
And he was just driving a bit too fast, and kind of wrecked an ATV. I was like, "Of course he was." Like.
Holy of course shit. He was. It you wouldn't have been surprised if somebody said like, well, he wanted to be shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Salmon cannon into
the sun. He really that was one of his last wishes is that I have to be shot out of a cannon. And you would have been like, I'm not surprised.
Wow.
That's crazy. What a cool mentor.
Yeah. I think we actually played him some Scary Kid songs and he was not impressed. He's like
oh my God.
He's like, what? It
needs more accordion.
Yeah, yeah, it needs more accordion. This is not polka. He was a big fan of polka.
He's like, this is what you did with the finger skills I gave
you. Like,
and you're like,
kidding?
You should see me flip my hair while I'm rocking out on this keyboard right here.
So the reason he's such a great instructor is he taught at the Russian Conservatory. And then because of the stories he told and because of whatever happened in Russia, he came to America. And now he's teaching all these kids in the small town in Arizona called Gilbert, who are like punks who'd rather go fucking have their first experiences with alcohol than sit there and learn from this like total master. And it was probably...
They didn't appreciate the talent. They wanted to skate in an empty
pool.
That's really what you
wanted
to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, he had like an Olympic-sized training pool, and we just wanted to drain it and fucking skate and drink in it, basically.
And you're like, hey, guys, you keep drinking. I got to go because I have to have a man yell at me while he washes his dogs.
Yeah.
I may or may not be test driving a car.
Your All right, Purion. You've always got a sneaky sparkle in those eyes. What is the sneakiest thing that you ever did as a young
fun
youngster?
Question. I don't know. I mean, I thought you prepped these questions. I have no idea. Childhood. I also have a terrible memory.
Oh, you do,
right,
you
right.
don't. I'm like, give me enough information that I can like smell the room I was in. Right. And then I'm like, oh shit, I can't remember the color sweater.
Settle down, youngins, gather around for story time with Bonnie.
That's it. When we talked about Lake Oswego, all of a sudden, like all these pictures came back of the bar that we drank in, of, you know, mm-hmm. the exact room that we were, like the way that the swings felt when we were, all that. Liquor store where I bought Mad Dog 2020 is my gift. It's you know, terrible gift, by the way. No one really understood the joke.
Mini spatula.
Yeah, that too.
Mini spatula?
A teeny tiny little green topped spatula that was probably like 3 inches.
I would have enjoyed that.
That's tall, the mini spatula. Yeah.
It was so okay, cute. Mischievous smile. What was the most mischievous thing that I did as a kid? One thing that I always felt really guilty about, I guess it's not really sneaky or fun or clever, but one thing that I feel a lot of guilt about is, you know how Coca-Cola used to have all those competitions where like you take the cap off and you look at it and you see if you won? They probably still do these things, right? Yes. I went into a gas station and I didn't really understand the concept of like if it's unsealed, it's like a bad thing. And I kind of cracked a couple to see if I won. And then I just put them back. And she's like, what the, you have to buy those. And I was like, oh, what? What do you mean? I was just looking under them. Like, I just didn't get it. But I still feel guilty about that to this day. I was like, shit, I didn't know. She was so upset.
Oh my gosh. And now probably like when you buy a beverage and you go to uncrack it, you're like, oh, it's sealed. That memory goes through your head. You're like, what if it was unsealed?
You're like acutely aware of the seal on all beverages now.
No, I'm actually totally the jerk that's eating his potato chips in line. Like before buying it, and like, you know,
you haven't paid for that yet. You're like, I'm good for it, fool. Yeah, there's a long line.
I got you.
I'm starving.
Yeah, I got you.
Promise.
Yeah,
that's pretty funny though.
I'll get you
that's
back.
A sneaky thing. That's sneaky, but like a good sneaky unaware.
I can picture kind us of having done that as kids, but probably aware we still would have done it.
Yeah,
because we were dicks.
I feel like my sneakiest thing that I didn't realize, like if we're talking sneaky things, we didn't. No, was like, oh, I didn't realize that was bad. I stole mail on my way home from school and hid it in the bushes when I was in second grade. And my mom found all this mail of all of our neighbors. Wow. And I just was like, I just was being like the anti-mailman. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, it's in here. Boop, boop, boop. And I like stole mail. And that's awful.
I forgot that you did that.
Yeah, what a dick. There's like bills that said like urgent.
And but didn't we like take mail from some people's mailboxes and then put it in other people's mailboxes? Like we're kind of fucked with people's mail on the
did
way home.
Did you do it too? Because I feel like I was the only person that got in trouble for it.
That's like story of our lives.
For a long time until like my mom had to sit me down and be like, that's a federal offense. And since you are a child, mommy would go to jail.
Oh, God.
Because it's in mommy's bushes. And I was like, oh, well, I don't want my mommy to go to jail. So second grade Bond was like, I'm going to stop. And Shannon was like, I'm going to double down.
No. What probably happened is we probably thought it was funny together. And then I moved on to other weird crimes, forgot all about it. And you were like, this is still fun. And you just kept doing it.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened. And then you got busted because...
like, you're not walking me to school.
Right.
You're letting a second grader just walk to school of in course. California. And she's just going to do whatever she wants, I guess.
I was picking people's flowers like nobody's business when I was little. But that was like second grade. Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Second grade's a good time to not know what you're doing. How old were you when you were popping tops?
I was like... 7 or 8.
Yeah.
Okay.
At second grade.
It's around that age.
Isn't it? Third grade. Yeah, that's hilarious. Second or third grade. That's the age apparently where you learn things.
You're
you level up.
Blissfully unaware that you are just a bad kid.
I want to go back to those times where I could just float through the universe.
You need to be like the age of accountability.
Was there a city you have wanted to visit, but you
haven't yet? Bangkok. We've always wanted to visit Thailand, and I've never been.
Hmm. I've never been to Thailand either.
Neither have
I. I've never been to Asia, period.
Been to Asia is pretty great. Yeah. But I've never been to... I wanted to go to Thailand.
What's the passion there? Like, what draws you in? Is there a specific, like, thing of city life? Is there a food that you're obsessed with? Is there, like, a paradise type of sightseeing thing that you're like, I have to go to this shrine or forest or place?
Monument. Yeah, I think it's a lot of things, you know? I've always wanted to see the spice trade on like the rivers and lakes or whatever, on those bodies of water where they're kind of, you know, riding these colorful spices. It's also fascinating to me. It's a fascinating culture because you have, you know, the most hyper masculine athletic sport, Muay Thai, out there. And then you also have this ladyboy culture that exists simultaneously. So, you know, I'm curious, like, how masculinity represents itself in a culture like that, because, you know, Americans were all super hyper masculine. And, you know, in the rock world, whatever, especially, you know, the kind of music that we played, we try to break those norms a little bit. And we're not as interested in those kind of like traditional models. But I'm always curious about how other countries kind of express identity.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point.
Like how they can bend gender roles.
There's fluidity over there, big time.
It is, but yet hyper-traditional in a lot of places.
Buddha is so cool, right? Like... Yeah. Their Buddha is the best, yeah. The best of all Buddhas, like the coolest looking Buddha. There's another reason.
The most fancy and the most odd.
Showy.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, I'm picturing it in my mind's eye. Thailand feels like nature and a party and a spiritual awakening and a cultural experience and accepting and forbidden all at the same time. Right. It's like the craziest draw. I don't know if I want to ever be on like a bike car though. That's the only thing that I've heard is fairly terrifying. They go like 90 miles an hour and it's a bike and a car at the same time and you could die.
I went on one of those in the Caribbean. Oh God. And I was like hanging off a cliff, and then we went on like a crazy bus where they drove so fast and like all of us like white as fuck tourists were just like, whoa, like jostled and scared.
Yeah, but
and
every was, country like, drives monkeys, like that, but ours.
It was like the man looked in his rearview mirror and was gaining joy and power the fear that was like bopping out of us every time we like slammed back down on the seat. And when we got to where we were going, we were like way more grateful for the sight. We were like, oh, it's so beautiful here. But I think it was like, oh, ground.
And he leveled up, so he's like boss level size now because you gave him all your fear power.
Yes.
That's fucking hilarious.
I like that. I want to be scared enough to really enjoy where I've gotten to.
Holy shit.
And that's a great way to get there.
Good hiking trails for that, for sure.
I just like want a rope bridge and a possible nightmare adventure. That's all I really want.
I want the fog to clear and for the bridge to keep going above the crevasse.
I like that Thailand's on all of our bucket lists and we've never been there.
I want to go everywhere in Asia because I think the culture is so beautiful. I just want to go anywhere in Asia respectfully, know what I'm not supposed to do, and then enjoy the culture with just like the most open heart. I think it would be really fun.
I will say that having gone to Tokyo at a time where there was no social media as it is now, I'm extremely grateful that I went when I did, because I was a bumbling dumbass American and I embarrassed myself on so many fucking levels. I embarrassed myself, my country, my culture. What I don't think we're very cultured by comparison, to be honest, but oh my God.
Well, okay, for our listeners, listeners in like tons of different countries.
Oh yes.
It's very exciting. I would love it if you guys like hit us up on Instagram and just wrote us a personal message that's like, hey, you've mentioned this before, like this is something that you've done, or Americans in general,
America, here's what you did,
Americans,
to like embarrass yourself in our country. I'm here for that.
Right, question for you guys: what is the first thing you're gonna do when the world opens up?
Oh Jesus Christ.
What does your Saturday look like?
Oh shit.
Damn, you couldn't pick a school day? Because I was going to throw the kid back at school.
She's like, he's going to go to school.
You have a babysitter. What do you do?
I would like to get my five best girlfriends and go get pedicures and manicures. Have someone just scrub off the dryness, the layer which is of my pandemic. Soul. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then feeling fresh, I want to take said girls to go to like an open air patio, bar, bistro, breakfast, whatever place, and just get some like good brunch, get some drinks, maybe drink Bloody Mary. And then for some reason, my brain keeps going back to like, I want to go roller skating.
Yes.
But that would ruin my pedicure. But like, also, I don't care. I want to go to things where multiple people can be in the same room again, but I also want to touch things. So my brain the other day was like, you know what sounds really fun is going to like Powell's Books or going to an old record shop and just leafing through records. Like, I haven't touched anything in so long.
Yeah.
And I'm so fearful, and we've been so highly sequestered.
Quarantined. Yeah, we've been very careful
that we don't do anything. And at this point, we I want to like leaf creeps. Through things.
Yeah, but
I want to smell old books.
I miss Palm Springs
Ooh, oh, yeah. I want to go to Palm Springs.
I want to go on a plane and not freak out. Mm-hmm. I want to go on a plane.
Ooh, she doesn't like to fly at all.
That was the thing I chose. That's how fucking bad this pandemic is.
It's her biggest fear. And she's like, let me do it.
I'm like, please, God, put me on a fucking bird in the sky. Ooh. I hate everything about this, but I love your question. But I want to go to Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah.
I want to be smaller so a bathing suit looks dope on me and sit this ass in a pool. That's what I want to do. A pool of people, which feels like people soup right now, and I'm not into it. So I'm like, put me on a plane, hated it. Put me in a pool with a ton of people, hated it. But I want to do it now.
Yeah,
like, it's kind of changed me. Oh my apparently. God,
what's on your list, Julian?
Oh, what are you gonna guess? I would start with a boxing class, right? One of those super basic, like, HIIT classes that don't teach you any boxing, but like you feel just drained at the end of it.
Because you're like, I haven't used these muscles in how long?
I just want to beat my body up and feel exhausted, right? Like,
oh, good. Like you had a spent day. Like, it wasn't just hours of like things to fill.
Yes.
You were like, oh, this day has been fluffy. It went by so fast, and I'm sleeping good tonight.
That's the last thing I did before the world locked down. Is I was taking kickboxing and boxing classes with a friend, thanks to Groupon.
Yes.
We couldn't finish our package because of the fucking lockdown. Ooh. How weird is that?
So you're gonna go boxing,
boxing, and then what? Brunch, massage,
yes,
boozy lunch, have too many drinks, go to a movie marathon until it's like dusk, and then go home and just feel like you had a full day and crash. I miss movie theaters so bad.
I want to go to a live show.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to scream, sing words. God, can you even imagine shows after this?
Ooh.
Especially like hardcore shows.
I don't miss people sweating on me, but I miss it.
But there was like a certain factor
in
the 2000s in being in the audience of a hardcore show. You'd get some elbows. You get elbowed in the face all the time. You'd get, we would pack ourselves in, but then you would get like
smashed.
Roundhouse kicked by someone. It was like the decorum was very rough.
Yeah.
And I feel like, how polite our show is going to feel. Like, people are going to want to get out their rage, but they're also going to be like, watch out, I'm behind you.
Yeah, I'm going to windmill over here. Are you cool with it? Can you stay 6 feet
behind you? Yeah, I'm going to windmill 6 feet behind you. And I'm not going to hurt you. Like, everyone's going to be just so excited to get out.
It's so weird. I would actually not mind waiting in a line. Mm-hmm. And like overhearing people's conversations.
Are you just daydreaming? Are you like trapped? Are you working from home? Like, what does your daily life?
Daydreaming, trapped, and working from home. All three. Three are appropriate.
You said Slack. So you just like, you work in a techie position where people can Slack you at any point.
Oh, right. Yeah. No, I think that is like kind of the challenge, right? Like, for people that are super workaholics, for people that are, you know, really, you know, just
driven by a quota,
just go for it, right?
Really on it.
Yeah, yeah. But forget about quotas, or just like, you know, self-obsessed with whatever they go after. You know, so like in LA, we gain that extra 2 hours of commute, right? But working remotely, that kind of turned into like 4 extra hours of work, right? Because you don't really get weekends anymore. You just, you're just in it. But the cool thing is, you know, on the flip side, I say that, but simultaneously, like, I love what I'm doing. So, I work at a company called Sanzar, and we're basically a social platform that's accessible in virtual reality and everything else. So it's virtual reality, and it's like a multi-world virtual space, but it's also on, you know, desktop PC and like your mobile phone and, you know, web and, you know, whatever computer you're using, you can access it. I am working in music. So that's what's exciting about it for me specifically. So
it's tying it all back.
Totally.
It's like coming around full circle.
Yeah.
That's
the reason I'm really excited to kind of shift over here is that, like, you, me, all three of us, and say, like, you know, 50 of our friends plus could all go into virtual reality, communicate through voice chat in our headsets. And again, we could also do this on desktop PC or whatever platform, but virtual reality to me is the most exciting. And then we could watch a live concert performing on stage while we're all in the same venue. So we are able to kind of bring this in the most, I guess, the closest thing to reality that exists while in quarantine.
Yeah. What a weird and perfect thing.
Yeah. I mean, after the band, I went to film school and I was really excited in that stuff. And then, you know, it kind of transitioned into virtual reality and kind of immersive technologies. So it's kind of a perfect fit for me. But the exciting thing is, it's like, I'm a believer in the ability to kind of like elevate these experiences beyond just like, you know, a quarantine thing. I think there's an interest, like, you know, for example, for people that might have, you know, either social anxiety or certain disabilities that keep them in home.
Oh, that's smart. I wasn't even thinking about the people that were shut-ins before this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking about distance.
Well, the great thing, there's so much to kind of unpack here. And to be honest, I really haven't unraveled it all. I'm just kind of excited about it and I'm running full speed toward it. So for people who wouldn't usually go out, and then also, like, you know, the three of us, we're in a different city right now. We could all put on a headset and like socially interact, but at an event, right? So there's a company in London right now called the Tobacco Docks that we've built one-to-one. So the company's name is LWE, and they have this venue called the Tobacco Docks where they'll hold a whole bunch of different experiences and events in. So what they're doing is they're bringing all of these DJs and performers into their event for these ongoing concerts. And it's their digital offering that comes in simultaneously with their real life offering. So you would go into the virtual venue and you could join from anywhere around the world, and you could, you know, when the world opens up, still go to their real life venue, right? So it's like for people globally that, like, for example, Bonnie, if we had met at a show, you know, in Portland, right? Or if we met at a show in Florida, right? That both of us were just kind of visiting, but we had like such great memories there. And we're like, holy shit, you remember, you know, whatever these memories are, like they're kind of reflecting on.
Yeah.
We've like created this venue where it is replicated to the light post, where if we entered it, we're walking around, we're looking at our hands, and we're meeting in that venue again, no matter if we have like the kind of financial restrictions to actually meet there again, or whatever is holding us back from actually traveling there, time, money, whatever it is, like we can be there again in person, talking to each other, communicating in real life, and seeing each other and like watching each other's body movements and talking naturally, and then also see a show there.
This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm in love with it.
This is some Inception shit.
Yeah, it feels so futuristic. Imagine young Puyon learning to play piano and just wanting to be a little punk, and then picture what you're doing now versus that timeline. Wow. Like if you went back in time and was like, hey kid, you like this show at this venue? Come put on these virtual reality goggles. I got you. Like everything will be the same and you can have all your friends here that weren't able to make it to the show. I feel like young Puyon would be like, what are you on? Like what? So what?
You're on mushrooms on a swing ride.
Yeah. You daydream about the future. That's nuts. This is so cool. The possibilities for this seem so endless that I just think it's so cool to hear about all this where, yes, I've been feeling trapped and I've been feeling crazy, and it would be really cool to be able to do this and it's being developed. But also, like, this is just the future. You're just like a future man right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think I would, you know, I don't think I know what the hell I was talking about if I told my 12-year-old self this, but that's actually like something I think about a lot. Like, would, you know, would my 12-year-old self be proud of me? And at this point, it's like my 12-year-old self wouldn't even know what the fuck I was talking about.
I'd be blown away, dude. Like, super proud, I think. Oh my God.
That's so cool.
I'm just picturing all the things I would redo and like go hang out with people and like go to old bar venues in Tokyo. And well, like
so many
out.
Venues have like shut down.
Exactly
too.
What I was picturing.
So it would be really cool if there was like old venues you could visit that didn't exist anymore, but they were like your favorite space.
I just went through like a Rolodex of pictures of venues that no longer exist in my brain.
Or even like Montage, like going to Montage and eating mac and cheese. I just want that life back.
Yeah, there are so many spaces like that. Think of like CBGB coming back to life, right? Like think of like, there's so many venues that we, you know, that we kind of grew up with. I remember the first venue that we played in Arizona, you know, the Nile Theater, that was like where I actually saw the Aquabats for the first time, right?
I love that.
Where it was like in Arizona, if we got to play the Nile Theater, that's when our kind of local band status, you know, that's all we really wanted. But if I saw the Nile Theater in this world, and it's like there's so many spaces like that that we can recreate, that people are kind of transported back to that moment.
That's really cool. That's insane. It feels limitless as far as like even timelines.
You go, I agree.
Like, back in time. Be like,
that's what I'm picturing.
I've never been to Woodstock, but all these people have memories of Woodstock, and they rebuilt Woodstock. And as somebody who wasn't even born, like I could go to Woodstock. Like that would
I just
be crazy.
Feel like I'd never come back to reality if I got to go to something like that. I'd just be like, bye. I so live in
reality
Woodstock
right now.
Don't touch my flower crown. I fucking live here now. Goodbye.
All of our relationships just go down the toilet except for the people that want to join
Woodstock,
us.
Y'all. And she gone.
Gone forever.
Goodbye.
In just like a few sentences, can you describe middle school Puyon?
Yes. So I would always put a shoe in the movie theater door, back door, so my friends could sneak in.
You sneak. Oh. I knew you were sneaky.
We had a pride card, which was our school's way of trying to like see how many things you did wrong.
Oh.
And I treated it like a bingo card where I could try to get as many as possible.
Shut up. And you thought Coke Ops were your worst.
You're
offense.
Like, I can't think of being sneaky. You're like, oh, wait, my whole childhood.
I had a dance card. Yeah.
A bingo card. Badness. For instance, what sort of things were on this?
Forgot your homework assignment.
Oh, okay.
Was late to class. I would literally wait outside. And it was my frustration that I thought this was so stupid. Because if you got like a collection of them, you know, it's like, well, what if I was getting donuts, right? Oh, but then also I was kind of organized, right? Like I got a petition signed in seventh grade so that we could get chili dogs because I loved Sonic the Hedgehog. And I said, well, you know, we have hot dogs. Why don't you guys just get chili? Make them a chili dog. That'd be great. And they said, listen, if you can get, you know, whatever the number was amount of students to sign this petition for chili, we'll give you chili dogs. So I got everyone to sign it. And, you know, I had one chili dog and then I just didn't care. Like I was over it.
It wasn't even about you having it. It was about you
the
just
accomplishment.
Like, how dare you not put it as an option? I'm going to create a problem to solve right now.
It had a lot to do with the chili. I think, you know, the quality of the footlong Sonic chili dog that I was familiar with just really wasn't in the junior high
wheelhouse.
You were trying to elevate
exactly.
the menu and it just didn't work out.
That's right. Listen, I'm not, you know, I'm not the chef there. I'm not making the menu. All I can do is make suggestions. And if they fucked it up, that's... Yeah. And if they screw up, it's not on me.
I was describing you to Shannon and I was like,
oh, it's so good.
Yes, he's a musician. However, Puyon has always been, he's like one step ahead. He's got like that sneaky look in his eye. He's the one across the room that if something is happening and you have no idea what's even happening, you can look across the room at him and he'll make eye contact with you where he's like, oh, I get it. I know. And that's all that has to be done. I was like, he's that guy. And I feel like him as a child was probably too smart for his own good.
I could see that.
Probably bored in school and the system just fucking with it. I'm not going to try hard in class because it's really easy. I'm just going to knock it out and whatever. And I don't care.
Those were very complimentary comments. So thank you very much. I wouldn't, you know, I would never call myself too smart, but I would say that maybe the kind of educational environment I grew up in Arizona also possibly isn't the best, right?
Most challenging for a smart kid anyway. Yeah.
Or too challenging for anyone that is, you know, interested in digging a little bit deeper. You know.
Shannon's very curious about your sibling.
Yes. My last question.
She's an older sister.
Oh yeah. Yes.
So I hear you have an older sister. And I am the eldest child and the oldest sister. And I feel like sometimes big sisters don't always come off very polished and awesome when it comes to stories. We're not actual monsters all the time, I don't think. So is there anything about your older sister that you admired as a kid?
Oh my God, everything. I love my older sister. She's like the best.
Aw, that's so sweet.
I mean, not saying, you know, that we got along as children. But we had this rule in the house where if you threw something at the other sibling, that sibling got to keep it.
So. I like that rule. God, I would have had so much shit taken away from me.
Yes. So as the younger sibling, because I got away with so much shit and she didn't, I would convince her to throw everything at me. It came to a point where they had to give her everything back because she didn't have a pair of shoes. Because every like other half of the shoe is taken away from her.
Oh my God. You'd piss her off to the point that she just chucked what was nearby?
Yeah.
Oh.
She's actually where I learned a lot of my manipulation tactics and also learned how to like suppress any anger in any situation.
Like stay
she taught
cool
me a lot
calm.
Growing up.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and also learn how to like kind of poke and prod with her. I mean, you know, your siblings teach you so much.
Yeah. I think you learn a lot of social dynamics from being a sibling. I think it's important.
Yeah.
Not always the best tactics. I'm not giving us any medals or anything, but like, I think you learned a lot about how to deal with people in society.
Yeah, I think so too. But it also depends because growing up, when you start to get in relationships with significant others and you've had a sibling, there's times where I'm dating a boy, I maybe date him for like 2 weeks, and I don't find that I'm intimidating. I feel like I'm very friendly and open. But then we start like, you know, you want to play video games with me? I'm like, sure. And then the first time I just lop him on the side, like just the arm comes out and I'm like, hey. And he looks at me like, who the fuck are you? And I'm like, I'm a sister. Like, are you kidding me? Right now we're playing video games and now I'm a sibling again. Like, I'm not even interested in you for dating because now I want to beat you in this game and my hand is going to wildly punch your arm. And I'm sorry in advance, I'm not in control of it. This is the sister hand coming out and it's going to smack you. It's very fucked up. Only children don't, I feel like, don't have that reaction of I'm just gonna hit you or throw something at you or steal something from you that you really love.
As an older sister of many children, I learned how to eat what I loved first on my plate because those little motherfuckers steal my food, hoard and binge what I really enjoyed. I still do that at home.
Such a fan of that. So in Persian culture, you know, I'm half Iranian. Persian culture is like kind of a large part of my upbringing. We have this thing called tarofing where you always offer what you have. It's like the concept of like, oh, I would give you the shirt off my back. In Persian culture, the idea is you should give a stranger a shirt off your back if they needed it more than you, right? So the only exception is the burnt rice at the bottom of the pot that is called tadik.
The crispy rice.
That's right. Yeah. So, you know, always anyone at the table, if anyone has tadik on their plate, you snipe it when the other person's looking away. And the game is to distract that person. At least it was in my household. And that's how I was raised. Obviously, I didn't grow up in Iran, so I don't know if that's the case. But that is definitely how my dad kind of passed along traditions to me. So
ours was turkey skin. We sniped the crispy skin from the Thanksgiving turkey.
And I don't like poultry skin. So right. Maybe I just was slow to snipe and I never developed a taste for it.
Well, no, I'm a fucking pig and I sniped so much of it that maybe there just wasn't any present for you because dad and I were the worst about just devouring as much as possible. You get what you can grab. That crispy rice is no joke, man. Oh my God, it's so good.
And you
good.
Steal it from other people. That sounds really fun.
I'm into that.
That's crispy really cute. Rice. I'll give you everything, but I'm going to steal the crunchy rice.
Yeah, you got to be playful. To answer the question, I think I admire my sister in a million ways that I probably couldn't begin to elaborate here. We, just like every sibling, gotten so many fights when we were younger, but she's always been the responsible one. She's got 3 kids who are really great kids. She's, she's put together, buttoned up, locked in. She's a real bar set to kind of raise too. So.
Oh. She's the polished stone.
I was going to say, she just roll. Like absolutely. Polished maturity that she's just kind of got it handled.
Yeah, she has been the sibling in the family that has allowed me my freedom.
Aw, that's really sweet. That was a nice way of putting that.
Like she did all the things your parents expected of her. So then you could kind of be a little more off the cuff traditionally.
That's totally right. That's exactly right. They're like, listen, we did it right this time. Everything else, that's just extra.
Yeah. Aww. She's our first pancake, but she turned out perfect. So you can go waffle it.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to go.
So that's the one they take the Instagram picture of, but you know, they'll still eat me. Yeah.
You're like a good human. It's not like she's so good.
You're not failure.
You're not a failure. You're still like above the majority of the human race, just as far as like the way you carry yourself, the way you treat people.
Well, you should meet my sister. She's great. She wins.
That's so cute.
She wins. She wins it. So she's just like a golden child. I love that. And you love her and respect her.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's that like?
That's so I'm just beautiful. Kidding. I'm no, looking I was at my thinking sister. That too. No, I was thinking, I wish somebody admired me like that.
I do admire you like that.
Oh, but I'm not a
you know what? The best we can.
We're just rough, tumbled gemstones. We just don't know we're gemstones.
I love that you love your sister. What's the age difference?
That's so
there?
Sweet. Can I guess?
She's about
6 years?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
How'd you?
No.
I got really excited. Sorry.
She's just under 2 years older than me. She's, like a little over a year and a half.
Okay. So you guys are close enough in age that you probably had like a banging crush on a few of her friends when you were little.
Ooh.
And she was like, nah, you're a baby.
No. Her friends, no.
Oh.
They didn't cut it for me. They weren't
cool. I mean, enough.
Were, you know, listen, like, well, they were in student council.
They
you know what I mean?
Showing up to your
I was in student council.
Bonnie just got a
no, and I'm sure that was I was strong. No, it was you know, it just wasn't it didn't work out for me. It wasn't no, I'm not interested. That's all. No big deal. Neither here nor there.
She's not
no,
I'm just I
her
like
face is so listen, excuse me.
No, I just started running through all the clubs.
Oh, God.
Okay, so two fun stories, both drug-related.
Oh, fantastic.
First, when the band first broke up, that Lake Oswego trip that we spent so much time together, that was when the band was breaking up.
Oh, it was like your getaway.
That was my getaway, yeah. Simultaneously, I was also breaking up with my girlfriend of...
A million years.
I'm not sure, but I think it was years, yeah. Right? It was like the first serious relationship I'd ever had. So I broke up with her. And that track... was like the cardio that I would just run around that track constantly, like having no answers and having no idea what I was going to do next after this like thing that I dedicated my whole life to.
It was your eat, pray, love, where you just got to like get away from it all, be around people that were comfortable in like your heart space. Yeah. Like they weren't going to make you talk about shit. They were going to happy distract you. And
that's when I wrote all those poems right there. And that's when I was like, yeah, we got to do something. And then I actually did mushrooms and walked around that, you know, that beautiful little walkway.
Yeah.
Right. That like it has all those flowers and it's got that little bridge, but it's all kind of like ground level. Mm-hmm.
Got the cheesy yeah, so bath and it's kind of cute.
Yeah. It's kind of cute. Right. Yeah. I remember walking that and I remember thinking, did that. And then I came back and all the closure in Moscow guys were back at the house and they were all listening to the Beatles, you know, Portland. And I remember thinking like, this music is so uplifting. The last thing I want to listen to is Scary Kids. Right? Oh. Like, why would we make music like that that kind of brings people down or like holds people in that dark place? And again, like, you know, you want to relate to people.
You're also like manifesting through that. You're like I'm
projection.
I don't want to feel right. dark. Yeah. I'm giving out I'm sure. darkness and I want to break out of that.
And I think that was exactly it. It was a really kind of painful moment. Right. But in that moment, I also thought like rather than, and again, I understand the value of relating to this kind of music and knowing that other people feel the same way, kind of establishing that mood and kind of creating depth in that feeling and understanding. But at the same time, I was like, why are we spreading this feeling that we're feeling so deeply? Why don't we focus on the things that make us feel good and highlight those and spread those throughout the world, right? And I have never forgotten that moment. And then I, you know, went off and did things completely different in music. But that thought I'm returning to has really been prevalent in this new kind of cycle of songwriting. And it's been really front of mind and something that Chad and I have talked a lot about in the kind of songs we're writing. So that Lake Oswego trip was so...
pivotal?
It
needed.
Yeah.
It was like a pause.
It sounds like it.
Like a reflection pause.
Yeah, you know, like similar to how this quarantine has been for some people where like
it's forcing you to look at things and take a time out from all the other bullshit.
That's it. You have to stop and you have to say, what path am I on and where am I heading and what's the purpose of this? Who am I? What kind of joy is this bringing me and where am I heading? Right.
Yeah.
And what's the point, basically, like in really simple terms? What is the point of what I'm doing?
It's a really good point, actually.
And it's a
good question.
It's crazy when you're in those moments because you're talking about like the path outside the track and like the flowers. I can picture that whole backyard.
Same.
I can picture Tyson and Tim eating twin pops on the back steps.
Right.
And like Dane came over and was grilling. Like everyone was over. It was such a weird, beautiful clubhouse for like three different bands to just kind of circle in together. And it was like all the edges and pieces, just however they wanted to float around. But I can picture all these little details. And here's at the beginning where I said, where did I work that I had so much free time? Like, what the fuck was I doing? I think in that moment of time when Closure was living here and recording that I had that pause moment in my life where I kind of made time for things that felt better and that it all kind of spun in line where we all lined up to just have like a hodgepodge. It was like always different flows of people and everyone was what we needed. Like I needed Russ and I needed his dogs and I needed him to just sometimes like, you know, just all get a little too Hammer Town and he would give me like sage advice and wisdom and I'd just be sitting there petting Kevin the dog.
Shut up. Kevin the dog. Yeah. Awesome.
And it was as everyone kind of ebbed and flowed, that house should have had a name, right? Like no one ever named it. Yeah. Never named that house.
That was exactly like people kind of came and went as they pleased, right? Yeah. Like you would drop in the afternoon for an hour and hang out, and then you would, you know, peace out. You might come in at like 1 or 2 a.m. and have a couple drinks,
right?
And
go to QFC and make on a food run
pancakes at 6 and then go to work, like whatever it was, right?
Yeah. It was such an ebb and flow, like a cool everyone's welcome vibe. It was like no judgment, right? It was definitely like a shift change, like it was like a safe place, and I love that you got to have that moment here.
That's kind of crazy.
I like that you had that time. I was telling Shannon also that one Christmas I wasn't able to go home and see my dad, and you came to what I call the Horchata house, which is where we had our Christmas party, ugly sweater party. But you and I went to a movie on Christmas because we were both like displaced without our family, and I don't even remember what we saw. It was maybe something like Will Smith or like, I don't remember.
How dare you?
But you and I, Puyan, went to a movie, just me and you at Christmas time. And it was like such a...
I love it. Best tradition. No matter what Christmas is, I want to be at a movie. I was so sad. That was like the worst thing, the pandemic, that I couldn't go see a movie on Christmas this year.
I've never done it. You were my first Christmas movie then.
Oof. It's my favorite tradition.
You're like, I'm coming over. I'm just coming over and I'm picking you up. And yeah. I was like, what are we doing? You're like, we're going to a movie. It was crazy. I was like, I'm out on Christmas. It felt so rebellious.
Bonnie is a cool person to steal and take to a movie. Like we used to have sister movie dates. She's
the best. Yeah.
She's like a cool one to like pick up and be like, I want to see this really weird seedy movie. And she's kind of down for whatever movie wise. I do miss movies like a lot now. Damn it.
Which is funny because all I've been doing is watching shit this whole pandemic.
Dude, I've like, watched so
little. But I
want to
get out and watch it.
I was talking to a friend that keeps requesting that we interview band people, which is really funny because they were the self-proclaimed show crazy fan back in the day in the early 2000s. You know the type. Crazy makeup, black sideswept hair, the whole thing. They knew every word of the song. They were those girls.
AKA all my best friends.
Yeah, everybody we love and know.
Yeah.
But they also had band friends. We were talking about how that era of bands was like if you picture all the schools in a school district and then maybe the best players of different sports would then move to a different high school. That's how those bands gained and lost band members.
Yeah.
There's maybe some bad vibes or maybe it's like the rivalries, Poach, the drummer of XYZ. Yeah, it was super funny the way she described it. I was like, that's actually the perfect analogy for that era.
On specific tours, you do like legs with certain people and then they transfer out. What I saw the most of crossovers and participation between bands was the outdoor festival tours in the summer. Because then it's like a trampoline. It's like fun.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing whatever.
That's
I have
when you
a question.
Meet everybody too.
Puyan, who is the most pivotal person or most random person that you met on tour that just kind of like became your person?
Like you get a band BFF at summer camp kind of vibe. Yeah. And then you're like, oh, I hope we go on tour near them sometime again. Okay, that's cute. I like that question.
Yeah. Is it an individual or is it a full band?
Either. Oh, it's up to you. Yeah. If you fell in love with a whole band, you're so lucky because there's always one guy in the band that you're like, I'm so glad Brad went to bed early because he kind of stinks and he has a bad attitude. Dude. We're all fun.
Yeah, you know, it's actually a whole band for sure, I think.
Aww.
The fortunate thing is we never kind of got to a level where the control was beyond our own, right? Like we were never, so we, you know, similar to why we had a lot of people kind of come to the reunion tour, is because we never hit this kind of pivotal apex where we breached out, you know, the mainstream, right? Like we touched on the Billboard charts a couple times, but we never like flipped to radio. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously some people might think that's detriment, but the benefit is we were always a person's discovery. We were never given up to the, you know, the
masses. You weren't mass produced until you weren't a thing anymore.
And even if you aren't, the perception is that you are. So like the benefit is like, listen, if you're like someone that's struggling in high school, that is the punk that I was, if the, you know, jock that you hate, and I didn't hate any jocks, but if the person that you hate in high school that doesn't listen to the shit that you listen to, that doesn't go out at night and like find these clubs on a Monday night and go to this, you know, Christian hardcore show just because as, you know, fucking Earth Crisis is the band that you want to see, right? Like, you know, or like find all these bands. And then these people that don't care about music are telling other people for the sake of their popularity that they listen to you when you might assume that that's better. We never had to deal with that, right?
Yeah, so that's a good point.
Yeah, the benefit of that is that we always got to pick the bands that we toured with, right? Like, because we weren't successful enough not to. Right, we always kind of hit this mid to low tier of success, you know, arguably that again, like, we got to tour with our favorite bands no matter what. So, like, you know, Haste the Day, you know, we loved playing with them. We got to play with them, you know, multiple club shows, and we were so stoked when they brought us out for the first time, and we were honored to continue playing with them and for them and continue to go back out on the road. Classic Crime, other band that, like, we were just buddies with, and we did multiple tours with.
They're so catchy as a band member. I love seeing when someone's on tour with someone and they're like on the side of the stage singing every song. They're like so into it. We don't play this kind of music. It's like a little poppier. To have that energy to see other bands just supporting enjoying the band they're with and just rocking out. Like, I love those type of pairings.
Supportive vibe.
They would have the audience that would be there, and they would be their diehard fans. You know, Haste the Day would have the same audience that would be there and be their diehard fans. The fortunate thing is we always kind of hovered around just under breaking kind of period where none of us like exploded to be too big.
Where everyone was still humble enough to just like meet each other on the same level.
Like, we love touring with them. That's what makes life good.
It's a good feeling. God, I love that.
That makes a whole festival or show lineup feel better.
And that was the case more with bands that we toured with than it wasn't. So I've named like two of the bands that we toured with frequently, like more than three times we've toured with each of those bands.
Do you want to play this or that?
I do.
Okay, we're going to do a rapid fire round.
Totally.
So this or that, we're going to ask you two choices and you just rapid fire choose your choice.
Or that.
Mm-hmm. Asia or Europe?
Europe.
Open air festival or indoor concert?
Open.
Love ballad or pumped up jam?
Pumped up jam.
Tacos or pizza?
Tacos. I mean, that's just right now, like this.
Right. No, it's just in the moment.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I'm not committing. No. I will also eat pizza.
Like we say, the other one doesn't have to die.
Okay, good. Because I still get to eat pizza just right now.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
This just doesn't cut off your choices forever.
Mm-hmm. I still want to eat pizza.
Okay. Are you eating pizza while you're reading a book or a movie? We'll pair it up. Do you want a book and a taco or a movie and some pizza?
Movie.
A book and a taco sounds hard.
Yeah. Pizza and a movie always. You know, pizza and a movie.
Pizza and a movie.
We've never comboed. That got complicated.
I did before when every time we bring up tacos or pizza, I'm like, you people don't remember that there's taco pizza.
Compliments.
Yes.
This is more than what I could have hoped for. Like, I knew it was going to be fun, and I knew I missed you so much. I didn't realize how much I missed you until we started chatting again.
Yeah, me too.
You're fucking beloved, and I adore everything about you. You are just such like a humble, cool person, and I'm so lucky to have ever gotten to meet you and to join your world and be the comfortable place in Portland that you could rely on for a Christmas Day movie.
Laundry Bon.
Yeah, you're just a high caliber human. And I love knowing where you've been, what you've been doing. I think it's so cool that you're just so multifaceted, that you're doing all these different projects and that music has found you again. And I think you are giving everyone a gift in this crazy time where we've all grown up and we've all done stuff other than this era, but we're all so nostalgic and hungry for it. And when it was over for you, your reflection of that, I never knew that's what you were entirely going through. And I'm so glad that you're coming back with Scary Kids with new hope for all these people that just are eagerly awaiting it. Your fans are exceptionally crazy for you guys. And I love it. I love it so much. And I hope that it brings you the hope and the happiness and the joy of everything you experienced walking in and listening to the Beatles with a bunch of just sassy Australians. That place is so crazy. But I hope you're able to elevate it to a point where you don't see the sadness and the darkness in that. And you guys are highlighting the good of what was and bringing it forward into something that all of us can hold in our hearts as nostalgic, but something new. I love being a part of this experience with you. And I love you.
Love you too.
I don't have a whole heck of a lot to add to this one. I met you so briefly and I remember having such a positive experience with you. You live as character in Bonnie Land for me, and all of her stories about you are so positive, and all of the band experience tales Bonnie has. There are many kinds of people, lots of questionable individuals with wild lives and whatnot. I will say you are a mainstay of constant, like, that is a positive tone. And there's it's a small fraction of people in that world that Bonnie felt that way about long,
I found
long-standing.
Some treasures and some
good
hot,
treasures.
Hot garbage.
You're like a diamond in that. I'm glad that you guys have maintained a friendship that's like the kind where
you know, dip out and dip back in.
You don't have to talk every day to feel like you still know somebody and know their heart and know what a good person they are. Talking with you, I'm like, oh shit, you are our people. You're just one of the good ones. It's just nice to hear, like, the band life can churn people out strangely and tragically, and not everybody lands on their feet. Mm-hmm. It's nice to hear growing into being an adult, still having that passion and love for music and still like wanting to be a part of something that feels good, but also still having a really good head on your shoulders. Like, you sound like you've grown up quite fine for having been a band boy. That's a really fucking huge trophy you should put on your shelf. Like,
thank you both for that. I'm not sure if you guys actually have any guests that take compliments.
Are you feeling like weird about it?
Do you have people that take compliments?
Only
well,
one.
We've only
had one.
No, and somebody was like, just say thank
really?
You. I'm also just so happy that you and Chad have reconnected in this new and elevated way. You guys can come back together and it feels the same but different. And that's a new chapter. Like, I'm
so, first of all, thank you. For all
like, no
confidence.
Pressure, but I have really high expectations for this album.
Oh my God.
You know,
you got Cove on it.
Yeah, he's killing Magic. It. The cool thing is, we come back today and we can write music that has, for us, like, we're detached from the identity of the band. Mm. The last time that we were able to write with this kind of freedom, okay, so yes, people have expectations, but the bottom line is, if we wrote the album that was coming directly after the last album, people would maybe feel some nostalgia, maybe feel a little bit bored. Some people would be disappointed. Some people would be excited. If we wrote something completely different, some people would be excited. Some people would be disappointed that it didn't sound exactly like the last thing. Either way, there are going to be people that are really disappointed.
You can't please everyone, no matter what
exactly.
Band you are.
So you're making, like, something that you... Not and even so, if you love it, it's something that you respect what you've built, and other people that you respect will respect.
The exciting piece about this is Chad and I are totally on the same page. First and foremost, we have to feel it. We have to love it. It has to be something that's really fun. The music has to be exciting for us, and we have to listen to a track and be like, oh, that has to be on the album. And if we don't feel that way, forget it. Nice. And we're feeling that about kind of the music that we're writing, and we're not really too concerned about how it attaches to our identities. We hope they like it because we like it, right? And that's a very different kind of equation. There are some assumptions that it like has to be a specific type of evolution from the previous album, and you know, that's just, it's not part of the factor anymore, right? It's like, do we like it? Are we having fun? And the last time that we wrote like this was when we were first writing together, when I was like, do I play the keyboard or do I play the guitar? We just want to play together, right? The last time that we wrote together was when we were first writing as a band, when it was super fun and innocent. And so I really hope people connect to it in the way that we connect to it. But if it's not, I think the most important thing is that we've had this process together, and this process was like really enjoyable and pleasant. And I think I've literally just been grateful for this time that we've had writing together, regardless of the outcome. It's been kind of a fun reunion in a lot of ways.
That's kind of what's important. That's if so you think cool. about it, like, yeah.
Can I change my answer to your question earlier, Puyon, of what I would like to do when the world opens up?
Ooh, go to a show.
Yes.
I would like to go to the second annual Chad Fest.
Oh my God.
Yes. We'll set it up. Chad Fest.
Rock it out in Gilbert. Let's Chad Fest. It up.
It's got to be on a Hay stage, though. Cannot happen without a stage of Hay.
What if you opened for Aquabats at Chad Fest? Happy fucking full circle as hell.
Talking about dreams. Okay. That's really sweeten the deal. We want to open for Yo Gabba Gabba. But I don't know if we can book them. Or if we get Yo Gabba Gabba.
I don't know if Broby's busy that weekend. I'll have to talk to his manager.
Fantastic. Let him know
that Let's do it.
Bonnie is eagerly awaiting this second annual, God, like a million years later. How old was he? 15?
I actually think that this is kind of perfect.
He was 16, yeah.
Sweet 16. We just inserted ourselves in your memory, and we're repainting it and putting ourselves all over the place. God. Yeah, welcome. Please tell everyone where to find, like, who's running the Scary Kids account. Can they follow them there? When is the album dropping? Very important information.
Yes. What would you like the peoples to know?
Yeah, more info on an album coming soon. Scary Kids Instagram, Scary Kids Facebook. But yeah, that's where you can follow the band. I am at Yonster. I will post quarterly. It's a very limited publication. You can follow me there.
I like it.
And yeah, I'll post all the key updates, only the important stuff.
Like Chadfest. Like when it's Chadfest.
If I have a child, you'll see that picture, and then you'll also see the child at graduation.
Perfect.
That's my posting.
No, like,
yeah,
that's exactly. The way you do it. That's so funny. Follow Scary Kids, Scaring Kids. And if you don't think it's the best band name of all time,
you're dumb.
You're stupid. Go to bed. Go to your room.
Go to your room. You're grounded. You're not going to Chadfest.
I love it. Thank you for hanging out with us. I freaking love you. And I think you're a fantastic human. And I love picking your brain and going down all these memories with you.
You have the best stories.
I told you, he's good with words.
Picture this guy with his dog for the longest time now. Like, this dog has a pink bow and the bath is just,
he's just loudly yelling. Yes.
Wrong. You've done it wrong again.
But he would actually scream, "No, I kill you. Do it again. No, I kill you. No, do it really? Again." In a thick Russian accent.
Oh, yeah, he did have a Russian accent.
You can hear now. He'd say, "No, I kill you. Do it again. No, I kill you." Yeah, I can hear him.
You've played piano wrong for too many hours. Yeah. Get in the car.
And then every time we would drive, and he would drive totally, like, I wouldn't say recklessly, but very fast.
Are you scared?
You know?
I'm not driving.
110, 100, you know, plus. When we get out, he would say, "I preserve your life, you think me. I preserve your life, you think me."
I love him. Like, if Harold and Maude was a movie, this could easily be a much better movie.
He was, he's a legend.
I agree.
You have a wonderful rest of your evening. You can unplug your gamer headphones now and use them to go play video games.
Shannon, it was great to meet you. Bonnie, it was so great to chat again. This was such a fun time, and this was really kind of a nice escape
from
the day to day. Yeah, it was wonderful.
My cup is full. I hope you guys feel the same, because I feel like this was social hour I didn't know I really required.
Do something for yourself that makes you happy tonight. Yeah,
jerk off.
Watch a Marvel movie. Yeah, totally. Yes.
We love you, and good night and goodbye.
And thank you.
Don't be a stranger and keep in touch with me forever.
And me quarterly.
Yes, quarterly. Quarterly.
Divine.
Bye.
All right, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
How much do you love him?
I love him. Mm-hmm. He reminds me of Portland good times. Like, popping over to your house and watching people play Nintendo. And then, like, you and I got to, like, tag team and make breakfast just for funsies. Because I was the most awake one in the room. So, hey, Bon, if somebody wanted to hang out with us, talk to us, where can they find us?
Well, we're at your house right now in your basement.
Right, but, like, on the onlines.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we're on Instagram and Twitter under the same name, which is... No, you are that.
Oh, right. Don't forget the no.
Yeah. Okay. We're also on the Facebook.
We are. And it's just straight up You Are That on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. We have a page and a group, so you can super participate or just follow along.
Yeah. What if somebody wanted to give us monies?
Well, my Venmo name is.
Oh, no.
Oh. Well, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/ You Are That. And they can give us as little as $1 a month. And
that's,
it helps
not a lot.
Support the podcast.
Yeah, it does. It funds all of our stuffs. They could also give us high fives on review, rating, and subscribing. Mm-hmm. And maybe
and
some
that's
five stars. Yeah, that's no monies.
Yes. Five stars is freaking fantastic, and we love those. And if you write a little note with it, like, tell us a fun fact about yourself. Mm-hmm. Tell us your favorite episode. Tell us your favorite guests from this past year.
You can tell us you like butter on your toast.
I do. We also have merch. Do you know where they can find
it? Oh, yeah, yeah. You could get things to put on your hot bods at youarethatmerch.com.
And there's also like mugs and shit.
And hats.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
Heads, countertops. We have you covered.
Totes.
We have totes.
We do have totes. That was organic and beautiful.
Oh my God. That's well, the best. We thank you so much for listening, sharing, rating, reviewing, all of the fun things, and participating. We hope you guys are enjoying this as much as we are.
Yeah.
Wisteria is a color.
Wisteria is a color. Mm-hmm. It's the color of the flowers. It's my favorite.
Very neat. I only knew that from that small town television show, Wisteria Lane. I don't know if you
Desperate Housewives.
Yes.
Huzzah. Yep. I know.
That's right.
Well played.
I know.
Guinness is a super low calorie beer.
Oh, I didn't know that. I feel like it's not because it's dark.
I know. That's
is that the joke?
That's how everybody feels.
Oh.
No, you've got to be joking.
Hey, let's go back memory lane. Remember, I'm gullible,
right?
125 calories for 12 ounces of Guinness.
Holy shit.
Corona is 100 for just content.
Are you Googling again?
Yeah, of course.
Smooth. It pairs well with food.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.